Welcome to the October-November edition of Heart to Heart. To thine own self be true, from a talk to those on retreat at Newlands, including new group leaders, from 1962. You are in an exalted state of mind, and your spirit is attuned to the holiness and beauty and truth of the inner light. The first step on the path is for you to understand your goal, which is the recognition of the inner light. Our work with you on the physical plane is to help you to travel the path which leads to the unveiling of this inner light. To thine own self be true. We would explain to you first the meaning of this affirmation, which is to the inner light be true. At the same time, we must recognize that the development and the unveiling of this inner light proceeds in stages in the normal human and physical life on earth. Many mistakes, or apparent mistakes, are made on earth, but we remind you that each soul needs certain experiences to help it to discover this inner truth. The experiences may be painful. They may be joyous. They may be amongst the crowd. Or they may be deep within your soul. Do not turn aside from the physical life and the human life, because in it, you will learn to discover the most profound truths of spiritual direction. It means also that you are learning to discern the real from the unreal. We watch over our beloved children. We do our best to bring you comfort and to harmonize your vibrations. But you are the ones to do the work, and you have been given the tools with which to work. The tools being the instruments of your own karma, the karma which you have created from former actions. It does not matter whether these have taken place in former incarnations or in the present life, but your tools of work lie within yourself, and your karma provides the opportunity and it provides the tools, because through your karma, you are brought into certain conditions. You have to live or associate with souls that may be very difficult. And we know how sore the poor soul can get with the irritation of the petty details of human life. How tiresome your companions can be to you, either in work or in the outer world, or even in your own home. But at the same time, beneath all this, there is a most beautiful process taking place, a smoothing of the rough ashlar. Though we sympathize, we understand, we know that by your courageous endurance of difficult conditions, you are doing the finest work. Let us go back again into the Grail Temple. And there we are one. We are all of the same spirit. We are all seeking the inner light, the Holy Grail. And because we are all of one spirit, we feel the beauty, the harmony, and the peace of the Grail Temple. We notice that the predominating colour, the atmosphere of the Grail Temple, is a soft rose pink, because all brethren are feeling the attribute of love. Love radiates that warm rosy pink, so the predominating colour in the Grail Temple is a soft, warm, delicate pink. And here you will also notice the fragrance of the rose. You see the significance of the pink, which is the colour of love, intense love, pure love, gentle love. Soft pink is the colour produced by such a vibration. Pink, the right pink, applied at the right time is most healing. We give rose to the heart because the patient needs that warmth of love. And the heart centre is the centre into which and from which this emotion, this attribute, this vibration of love works. When you meditate upon the colours, the seven rays of the spectrum, you will understand more how exact and scientific are the colours of the Christ ray, how they are needed in human life, and what they do for the human life, not only on the innermost planes, but right through every plane of your being. You will understand how necessary it is to have harmony in all your lodge work. But when you have to work alone, as we can see that some of you have to do, don't be in any degree disheartened. It is of the greatest importance that this spirit, call it whatever you like, but it is really the spirit, the divine intelligence, is the base of life upon which all evolution takes place. So when you are working alone, create for yourselves this harmony, first of all in your own innermost being. To thine own self be true. To thine own inner light be true. To thine own spirit be true. Then, my dear ones, you will live truth. You will think truth and speak truth. You will be true to the Christ within you, the light within you. You all blame yourselves for failures. We are going to give you another aspect to failure. What you call failure is a triumph, because the failure is showing you something. The very fact that you admit failure means that you, the light within, the spirit within, has opened itself a little more in the mind and the heart. Do not be cast down by failure. Thank God that you recognize failure, because this is a lesson learned. The question that arises in the mind of you all is, what shall I do next? Shall I act, or shall I remain still? Am I to endure? Now, the very fact that you are asking that question means that you must remain quiescent. When the moment comes for you to take action, to do something different, then there is no question in your mind. You know, you may be driven to it by circumstances or, as you would say, by your karma. You are driven to action. There is no other course for you to take. When that comes, accept. The action is placed before you, and you can see no other alternative whatsoever. You know it is the right thing, and so you patiently and humbly accept with trust in your souls, because you are so certain and so confident of the Master by your side, the Master in your own being. Now may we just add this to help you. You hear a lot of talk about the Master, your Master. You think of the Master as a personality outside yourself and a very dear companion. You look up to the one you regard as Master. But may we explain to you that you are a small part of that Master soul, and that Master is in yourself. He is your teacher, and to bring it down to a very fine degree, he is the light. Now you may select any name you like, the name of any initiate you like, it does not matter. The dress they wear, or the time they lived, they have all attained the degree, the supreme degree of mastership. They have all seen the unveiling of the Holy Grail. They have all experienced within themselves this unveiling of this supreme, eternal, divine light, and the substance of their consciousness is in you. But it is not unveiled. It is covered up. It lies either dormant or only dimly stirring. And so, in those immortal words, "To thine own self be true," you will find the key to the universe. We have said so many times, keep on keeping on. Remain steadfast with your vision on your goal. Keep your heart attuned to the one true light. Do not be overthrown or shaken by your mistakes, but keep right on. And even if you are only one or two in the group, you are building, you are creating a powerful lodge, which will be a focal point, a centre of attraction to other souls who are ready, and they will be drawn. And if they do not come as quickly as you think they should, do not be disappointed. Just know that when the soul is ready, the Master comes. So, my children, have courage. Simplicity by Jane Sorby. We intend to be very simple. We bear in mind that simplicity is the bedrock of profundity, and in the simplest language may be presented the grandest truths. This is something that White Eagle said. Perhaps a vital part of our evolution is to seek to develop a simple way of living. A way of living our lives without complication, peacefully overlaid with a quiet reverence. To hold the intent to move through each day without the interference of an overly active, reasoning mind. There is something very beautiful about simplicity, not only in the way we receive spiritual wisdom, but the graciousness in which we put this into practice in our daily actions and relationships. Those who peopled the earth in the beginning held simple philosophies on how to live and to love. Those who lived on what we now know as the island of Hawaii tell a story about the incarnation of each newborn child. Each child came into life with a beautiful bowl of light. If the child nurtured the light, it would strengthen him or her and bring blessing to accomplish all things. If, however, the child became envious or jealous, they dropped a stone into their bowl of light, and some of the light splashed out of it. Light and stone cannot hold the same space. If they continued to put stones in the bowl of light, the light would go out altogether and they would become a stone. Should the child grow tired of being like those stones, all they needed to do was to turn the bowl upside down and the stones would fall out and the light would grow once more. Perhaps such an uncomplicated vision would help us all in these times of many stones. The following is from the book Tales from the Night Rainbow. We are all one, each a part of the eternal whole. There is no line that divides one from another, or those in body from those in spirit. When men say they believe only this or that, they put blinders on themselves. Blinders hide the beauty and majesty of what we are a part of, children of the Most High, inheritors of the universe. Jane continues, teachings contained in many native cultures and indeed the cornerstone of all White Eagle teachings, emphasize the importance of expressing reverence for all life. Walking in the natural world, truly seeing the trees, tiny flowers and grasses, and breathing in the gift of the air, all have a way of bringing us back into the heart, an acknowledgement that all parts of creation hold the Creator. In many ancient cultures, if the people needed to use any part of the natural world, such as a stone, that they wished to be moved or used in a structure, a simple request would be made, asking that stone if it agreed. If the stone did not agree, another stone was asked. The same with the trees and tiny wild